Welcome to the All Souls Forum, here on KKFI. I'm your host, Christina Frazier. Tonight's conversation is all about communal living for seniors, known today as co-housing. Our speaker, Gail Reinch, founder of the Kansas City Co-Housing Coalition, will share some examples of various types of modern co-housing and introduce us to three residents of a local Golden Girls home-sharing community. Even if you're not a senior considering co-housing as an alternative to assisted living, this engaging talk might challenge you to consider your own living situation, what does and doesn't work, and how people in the metro area are seeking alternative ways to connect with one another and build community through living situations. Our show was recorded on February 5th at All Souls Universalist Unitarian Church here in Kansas City, Missouri. We will follow our usual format, beginning with our speaker's presentation, followed by a short break, and then we will conclude with the question and answering part of the program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Now let's join the conversation here at 90.1 FM KKFI.
Good morning. My name is Craig Volland. I'm a member of the Forum Committee here at All Souls. The forum exists to afford a platform for the discussion of significant issues, especially those which involve ethical values in the contemporary world. This program will be broadcast in about 10 days on KKFI Community Radio, and we are very thankful that they provide that service for the All Souls Forum. This morning we have really a unique program consisting of one introductory speaker and then the Golden Girls that are will speak or answer questions as they prefer. Our principal speaker is Gail Reinch. She formed the Kansas City Co-Housing Coalition as a way to bring together interested individuals, nonprofits, housing professionals, architects, real estate developers, funders, and others to create awareness and interest in co-housing. Her interest in co-housing as a way to age well in community led her to UMKC's graduate program in gerontology and to join the board of the Shepherd Center. She participates in national and regional co-housing conferences and has visited co-housing communities all over the country. Gail is also a fundraiser for the Jewish Federation of Greater Kansas City. And we have the Golden Girls in front of you. In the middle is Landa. Landa Williams has lived in KC most of her life and worked in advertising, media, and graphic arts prior to founding her recruiting and staffing company, Landa Job, in 1985. I like that name. She is the widow of Jack Murda, to whom she was married for 30 years. She has also served as a volunteer in several community organizations. Paula, right over there, Paula G., has held management positions in several industries. She particularly enjoyed business development and assessing talent for human development. Her last position, and this is a great one, was facility manager at the Kappa Alpha Theta House in Columbia, Missouri, a nearly 100-year-old sorority house where she also helped young women with their career planning and networking skills. Well, were 80 residents or something like that? Wow. She retired in May of 2016 and became a full-time resident of the Golden Girls. Carol G., a native of Missouri and a graduate of the University of Missouri, spent 25 years with DuPont in Wilmington, Delaware, including a stint as global brand manager for the DuPont brand, twice winning the highest marketing award in the company. She later served as chief communications officer at Owens, Illinois, in Toledo, Ohio, and led their Charities Foundation while serving on the boards of several community organizations. She retired and moved to Kansas City in 2014, where she continues volunteer work. So I'll now hand it over to Gail.
Well, it's not surprising that those of us who heard about and were fascinated with communes in the 60s are now getting interested in co-housing, I mean, in the 60s, in our 20s, are now getting interested in co-housing when we're in our 60s, give or take. So Not that co-housing is a commune, it is not, but it has that wonderful community aspect that we got a feel for and a baseline for all those years ago. It also makes sense that for those of us, or all of us in that age range, that are out of that middle years rush, that now maybe have time to spend more time, get to know our neighbors, are looking for that that kinship and just a way to make more connections as we age and maybe are pulled away from the workforce, maybe don't have all of those groups that we used to have. Although I know this is an amazing group at All Souls, and you all are a real community. So how did I get involved in co-housing? And how many of you, I know you've heard of some areas of it, but how many of you know something about co-housing? Excellent. I know Bob Birkebeil does, Libby, from BNIM Architects that's here today, so he'll be able to answer some good questions later, too. The way I got started was really organic. I looked at all of my older relatives living alone in their homes, becoming more isolated as they aged and their communities got smaller, and I thought, that's not for me. I want to live among friends, and I used to have an idea that my friends, we would all grow old and we would move to what I understood was, you know, a commune and when we got older. But, you know, they'd either moved on, some of them sadly are no longer living. So you have to kind of build your own community. And that's very possible to do in a lot of ways. So I've had that idea cooking and thinking, why don't these relatives and older people I know just move together? If they would, they could be a mutual support for each other. But of course, that didn't really happen, and people think they want to stay hanging on to their home, aging in their home and in place instead of aging in communities. So our parents didn't really get that. Then I read an article in the New York Times about a new senior co-housing community, this was probably 8 years ago, that was being developed in Northern California. And I thought, that is it, co-housing. I finally figured out what that thing was that I thought of and have been trying to figure out ways to create public awareness and work towards co-housing myself. In some ways, I'm really interested in developing affordable co-housing for older adults as a way to age in community. But there are other ways to go about it. So today I'm going to talk about the classic textbook definition of co-housing, the types of co-housing, and some alternate co-housing arrangements. And some of the benefits of senior co-housing, and then, of course, we're going to hear from Carol G. talking about the Golden Girls model. So we're going from the general to the specific. There's a lot more to cover about co-housing than I will be able to today, so I'll just, you know, there'll be some gaps. But basically, I want to give you a general idea. So this is an example of a pretty typical co-housing community. You can see that the buildings are close together for community, and the walking paths there. You have to walk by people to get in and out of your home. While you have a private space, you are living close to each other. There's a children's playground in the middle and a community garden. So those are all typical things. Usually there's some chickens and people collect the eggs. So co-housing started in Denmark. They have some amazing co-housing communities there. And it was brought here in the 80s by some architects from California that studied there. It encourages, so it's all about, unlike a commune, it's private living space, but the emphasis is on community. Residents in a co-housing community, while they don't have to be outgoing people that are interacting constantly, but they need to go to a co-housing community with consciously wanting to be part of a community and interact with the community. So here are the basic principles or characteristics of co-housing in the classic model. The residents are involved in the planning and in the equal democratic running of the community. So that's different from, say, a condo where you have a board. It's private living space, whether it's single houses, attached houses, or in a condominium building. There's always, and this is a really important part, a community house, or if it's in a condo building, a community room or floor or something that's typically large while the living spaces are small, so that people gather there. And usually it's around a couple of meals a week. And in some senior co-housing, you know, it's the meals are more often. And that's jointly owned with the other common spaces on an HOA, homeowners association, basis. And the physical layout is designed so that you have to interact. Types of co-housing. There are a lot of different unique co-housing communities. I mean, they're all different. But some basics are it can be new construction or retrofit. We'll look at an example of that. Most co-housing is intergenerational. There are intentional communities. There is a spiritual community in Virginia. There are things like that, eco-villages. That's very popular. I'm sure some of you all really get that. And the naturally occurring communities, I'll show you one of those, and social service. So co-housing working with social service also. So that's an amazing, amazing example. The process basically, in the simplest way, is a bunch of us get together and decide we want to build a community. Maybe we recruit some more people. We buy some land. Once in a while, you're lucky enough to get land, like we could have from the land bank last year in Kansas City. Then we hire a consultant, they're co-housing consultants, an architect, a builder, and get it built. And the co-housing consultant guides people through this process because the individuals are going to make all the decisions. So you can imagine that's not real easy. To get consensus on things, but that's a good example of getting people prepared to move in and living together and working together. So the start to finish, it takes a few years. So here's the typical layout of a co-housing community. You can see, hopefully, the red part are the buildings on each side, and there's garden in the middle and garden space around it, and then that on the right is a community house, community building. Parking is always on the periphery, so maybe I don't know how well you can see that, but the cars are on the outside. The closest co-housing community that I know of is in Lawrence, so that's pretty typical. And here is a retrofit community. This is in Boulder, Colorado. They took an old school. There are a lot of old schools here just waiting to be retrofitted. In fact, Bob Birkebeil is working on Westport High School right now and the school across the street. So this is a mix of retrofit that the school is the common house, and there's also apartments, some studio apartments in that building. And then to the left and the right of it are new construction houses. That's quite a community and a real upscale one, as everything is in Boulder. It's beautiful. This is one of my favorite communities. It's in Davis, California. And kind of hard to tell from the picture, but this is the naturally occurring community. It started with two residents taking down the fence between their backyards so their kids could play together, kind of have a shared backyard. And one by one, this whole long block has become co-housing. And they build a common house. And it's about 25 years old, but it's spreading. Now it's growing, going across the street to another block. So that is a really cool model. And with some like-minded people around where they live, you could start something like that. This is a happy picture from Silver Sage co-housing in Boulder. That's what your life could be like. Hanging out together. And this is an example of a nonprofit in loosely co-housing. This is in Portland, Oregon, and it's a home. They have a wonderful model that we need more of. It's a home for, or homes for, adoptive foster families. And so to give them support, there's also a social worker and building on site. And there is below market rate affordable housing for seniors on the property, and they contractually, the deal is, they interact with the kids. So trying to help the families succeed in that transition. And they can live there. I don't think there's any limit on how long the families can live there. This is a veteran co-housing project. There's certainly a big need for that. And I've talked to HUD here, House and Urban Development, and they're really interested in doing something like this. We've had a conference call with these people. So there are rumblings, and there's a lot of interest. It's just kind of pushing a rope up a hill, trying to get something to catch. So the process, I actually already told you about that. Alternative types of housing, as Esther Marcus here would enlighten me several years ago, the tiny house movement. And of course, it got so big. That's a favorite subject of a lot of people. And tiny houses, if there's just one over there or one down there, that isn't co-housing. But if they also have a community house or community facilities, or are set up so that they're close together and they, you know, that's part of their plan, then that really gets at a type of co-housing, although it's more alternative. And then here's a picture of a co-housing community. I don't know if it's been finished yet or not, but it's in California. And so you can kind of see, hopefully, the layout of the tiny houses radiating there, and then the parking off separately so that you have plenty of walking space and for families, and if you can get them into a tiny house. But I know some that are, if you can imagine. And then here's another type of alternative communal housing, the Golden Girls model from the popular 1980s television show. So we'll hear a lot about that in a few minutes. And the benefits of senior co-housing. There's nothing like being in community, having a sense of place and a sense of belonging. Again, especially as we get older, that's even more important. So the social engagement possibilities, mutual support is huge. If I'm still driving, but I don't cook, maybe someone else is cooking, we can kind of help each other out. You can certainly avoid loneliness, and it helps us live independently for as long as possible, maybe always. Senior co-housing, as I said, is the fastest growing segment. Baby boomers don't want to age like their parents did. We don't want it. They're still, you know, building all these retirement homes, and a lot of us are getting, you know, that would be in our sights maybe 10 or 15 years down the road. I don't know who's going to live in all of those at that time, but maybe there'll be a change, or they'll turn them into co-housing. And then one of the advantages in a senior co-housing community is having a caregiver, a guest room that can convert to a live-in caregiver, and the economy of the shared expense of that when people need a little more support. That's kind of a nice option that they're doing. They're building it to most senior co-housing communities. And here's a picture of some contented co-housers. So what I'm interested in, and what I've done, since I haven't figured out how to get into a co-housing community yet, and I'm loving where I'm living, so I don't know if that will ever happen, but what I'm doing is building community where I live. So about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, my husband and I finally made the move from our house to a condo, and we knew that there was one condo in town that we'd want to move to if we ever did, and it's in this neighborhood. And the thing about it is we knew there was already a sense of community there, so I'm going to kind of read my notes about that. So last summer, my husband and I made the move from a house to a condo. We chose our particular building partly because of the stories we'd heard about how people loved living there. More than one resident told us it was a vertical small town or a real neighborhood. It already had one of the most important aspects of co-housing, that's a sense of community. It certainly has a sense of place. After living there a while, I realized that even though there was a social committee that hosted a few events a year, residents might be ready for more ways to connect. And as I talked to my neighbors about what we could do, the ideas came flying. I could see people really wanted to do something. It just took somebody starting it. So in the last few months, we've had several successful events and more planned. We had a progressive happy hour tour a few weeks ago with 12 people opening their units for a tour. And then we had a Thanksgiving dinner in the community room for people that didn't have any Thanksgiving plans. And that was wonderful. We're going to do that again next year. It was so successful. Then we had an art soiree where resident artists presented their creative work. And we weren't sure how many people would come. That was new. Nearly 50 people showed up on that weeknight, and can't wait for more things like that. So I doubt if our building will ever become a true co-housing community, but I believe it's a place where neighbors can connect, share interests, and be a mutual support. So we can do more, even more of that than is happening now. So I encourage you, however you think about you might want to live, to get creative with housing. Think about starting a co-housing community. I'm certainly happy to be a resource to help you as I can. Or retrofit an existing building. I love that idea. Take over part of an existing condominium. That has happened, not here, but as a co-housing community. And the legalities on that are pretty interesting, but some people did it, and it works. Build a tiny house community, or that would be great for a weekend place to go, right? Or simply do what I'm doing and build community where you live, because it's amazing what you can do when you just get started. Now we're going to hear about a specific kind of housing and all the things that you all have done to create your family, your Golden Girls family. And there they are. Carol G.
Thank you, Gail. It's really wonderful to be here. Thank you, Craig, as well. Yes, this picture was taken. Once again, Gail led a reporter from Pew Institute Research. They do stories regionally around the country and have newsletters. And it was a co-housing article, and they were looking for examples. And we were one of the examples that they interviewed. And this is actually before Paula even retired, but she came home for the interview and for the photo. And there's our beloved dog, Ace, the standard poodle that is as large as the rest of us that lives with us. We said we should have brought him today because he certainly rounds out the family. So I lived most of my life on the East Coast, grew up in Southeast Missouri, went to Missouri J School, and then had an opportunity to go to work for DuPont in Wilmington, Delaware. I loved the East Coast. I loved living in my home, which was an old school. I had a condo in an old school that had been converted. But as I was, you know, finishing out my career, I'm the one in the family that had lived farthest away. My brother and sisters all lived closer together in the area. Patty and Paula both had been in Kansas City for many years. And our brother Tom is now in Nebraska, so he was close by. So I said to myself, when I retire, I want to go live nearer my family. And so as much as I loved living alone, I had no opposition to living with others. I had done that from time to time with, you know, friends that needed a place to stay or whatever. But the practical side of me kicked in. And I'm like, I'm single. My sister Paula was single. It seemed silly that we would have two homes in Kansas City together. And originally when I had this idea, our beloved Jack, Landa's husband, was still alive. And I actually talked to them about the possibility of all of us living together. Actually, Jack and Landa had lived with Paula for seven months or so. I had bought a home originally at like 103rd and State Line when I just thought I should get an investment going, and you know, this idea was just beginning to brew. Anyway, the three of them had lived together for a period of time when Jack and Landa had reasons to need a place to stay for a bit longer, and that had worked out so famously, so that I thought, well, why don't the four of us do that? And I guess Jack was so intimidated by the idea that he left us, so, or he didn't like the idea of being Sophia. I don't know which one, you know, if you think about the Golden Girls. We joke now that the three of us, we kind of all fight over who's Blanche, although we're really more Dorothy, I can tell you. So, but the other advantage I considered when I had this idea is that I thought, wow, you know, if I had to have hip surgery, like I do coming up, why not get some roommates who could, you know, it'd be like having a built-in nurse and a candy striper, Landa's line, because actually the first thing Paula did, smart woman that she is, when she retired, is she had to have foot surgery. So we've already practiced that benefit of having roommates that are your caregivers. And so I talked to my now roommates and said, okay, here's the idea. I am having to sell a home. Are you all okay to make it simpler that I just buy the home for now? If some down the road you want to get in and we become owner, all three owners, but to make it simple, I'll be the homeowner. And we started talking about what we were looking for. We'd love to be in a neighborhood that was midtown, if you will, not so far out south. We'd love to find a ranch, obviously, no stairs. And our sister, Patty, Paul and I, our youngest sister, lives in the Corinth area. So it'd been cool if we could have gotten near there. Well, finding a ranch in this town that is all one level, that's truly all one level, is not an easy thing to do. And one of my earlier ideas was also, I thought, what I should do is find an architect or a builder who is interested in the idea of building Golden Girl houses, co-housing, and making, creating a model. Well, okay, that was, I didn't even try, but because the biggest challenge, too, is finding what you want, where you want it to be. And, of course, finding land to build. I thought about building, and that was also a challenge. And so finally, working with the realtor we worked with, I said, you know what? I'd been looking online. I was living in Ohio at the time, and I said, you know what, Kitty? I can't do this anymore. We really, let me wait and move there. I'll store my stuff, and then we'll search. So I'm not doing this long distance. And she said, that is a great idea, Carol. And the next week, she called and said, well, you might want to just consider this one house. So I said, okay, what is it? She sent me stuff online, and here it was, a perfect ranch at 99th and Mission, and it was all one level. It had a fenced-in yard because we knew a dog was coming with Landa, whether, you know, at the time it wasn't Ace, it was a different one, and it was too good to be true, and it was 15 blocks from Corinth, where our sister Patty lived. So, and was able to get the house at a price because, of course, there's not a ranch in the city that wouldn't need to be retrofitted to accommodate three people who want their own room and bathroom. So, you know, decided to get the house and then set out a plan. And originally, the only thing I was going to do was renovate the kitchen, because the kitchen was truly in desperate need of renovation. So I said, because I was still out in Ohio, and I said, okay, the first thing we'll do when I move there is we'll do the kitchen. And by the time I got to Ohio, and got to Kansas City in July of 2014, I said, I can't stand the thought of living with renovation. So met with our contractor and set about a plan to renovate the house. And the majority of the renovation was a new kitchen. And the all the bedrooms. You know, a typical ranch is the front room, dining room, kitchen, family room, and then a long hallway that leads to bedrooms that are on a long hallway. You know, the kind of L configuration. Anyway, we set about it. You know, we all had different things that we wanted to do. Paula really wanted a jacuzzi tub, so that had to be in the equation. And Landa really wanted to be on the east, so her preference was to have the east bedroom. I just wanted it to be a space that we all could live and enjoy being in together. And I must say, we're all very happy with the results. I was lucky that even though I could have lived with my sister and brother-in-law that were here because Paula was still working, Landa, of course, had lost Jack, so and we needed to be practiced being roommates. So I was able to live with Landa in her home until she sold it when we were ready to move into the place after it had been renovated. So I didn't have to live through, you know, renovation nightmares, but luckily we also had a contractor that there really were no nightmares. It was just such a blessed thing from the get-go. And so, again, my purpose for this was, again, I mean, you know, there's days that you think, gosh, if I were living alone, I wouldn't have to ask anybody's opinion on this or that. And, you know, as Paul and I both, having lived alone as single women, you know, when we want something, we pretty much made it happen, right? We've had it. And now you have to be a little more thoughtful about that. And so there are definitely adjustments that everybody has to make. But we've not done anything so scientific like, okay, we're meeting every Sunday and here's the list of things that are going to have to happen this week, or even cooking. It's very organic. It's like, okay, whoever feels like it or is in need of a particular, and Paula loves, and she loves to cook, and so she tends to be the leader in this category. But on the nights we have salad, that's Landa's arena, so she's the salad queen. So it has worked. Are there pinch points? Of course. And so we have addressed those with a friend who's in the audience. And that has helped immensely, because when you choose to live with other people in close proximity, as we were reminded, we got married. Maybe we weren't originally thinking of it that way, but it's truly you're creating a marriage, because there's give and take in any marriage of any tenure at all. And so, but at the end of the day, the sharing costs, the sharing of, you know, helping each other, the caregiving when it's needed, the general fun that you can have, and the sharing of your friends. I mean, no one comes to our home that doesn't wish they could move in. Every girlfriend of ours, married or not, they really would love to move in with us. So we may have a lottery to find out who Sophia will be. But anyway, I'm happy to answer questions. Paul and Landa are here to do the same. It's really worked for us. It's a little different model, for sure, than some of the things Gail showed you. And who knows, when we come back and give a presentation later, we may be telling you that there's three tents pitched in the backyard and no one's living together. We're just using the house as a social thing. But so far, it's been fine, because we each have a space to go to. Shut the door, get away from anybody if you need to do that. And in general, we try to be very considerate of each other, and it's worked out pretty well.
What a hoot. That was great. A microphone, and the rules are that everybody gets one question until everybody has a chance, and there's no speeches. Everybody likes to do that here, so we have to put that in there. But you can make that speech in the meeting room, where we'll go afterwards. Everyone has agreed to go and have further discussion in the meeting room just to your left there. So I will now hand it back over to Gail to as far as questions.
I would like to follow up on something you said. Your phrase, build community where you live. But frankly, what I heard was live where you can build community. You made a very conscious choice, and I'm very sensitive to that, because I'm also wondering, frankly, having been to a lot of charrettes and studio projects and things of that sort, this idea of community housing hasn't yet come up. And when I think about the project at the Bancroft School and the fact that our local architects set up a competition to design individual opportunities to fill out that neighborhood, and yet this seems like it would have been a very natural alternative. So I'm wondering what your experience has been with our friends in the architecture community and maybe in the development community and City Hall and wherever else that look like the sort of next challenges to be taken up to advance this idea.
Well, and I'm sure Bob Birkelbaugh could add something to that because he does that day in and day out. But I can tell you that while there's a lot of interest in it, it's not easy to do. There are governmental issues to deal with. Although it's amazing that the tiny house community, the city turned on a dime and made allowances for tiny house, sewer hookup and that sort of thing. So they really wanted that to happen. But there are a lot of factors that come into play, and it's not nearly as easy as just building a house because there's a system for that. And there's not really a system for this communal living and residence, and although there's obviously more and more mixed-use development. So maybe that's something Bob can address or talk about if you come over to the next little session and discuss that. But what we really need to inspire it is talking about it more and getting more people interested in it and being vigilant of, well, that's an opportunity. It's amazing that I have gotten a meeting with HUD. If you've ever tried to reach the regional director of HUD, I can't believe, it took me a few months, but we've had two meetings. We had a conference call with the veteran people. I've met with Housing Authority. They're really interested in doing something in their affordable housing, building co-housing, co-housing-like aspects. In fact, I might just say, I don't think I added this in my words earlier, that one of the ways that I met probably half of the people that I know in our building is in the laundry room, because some people wouldn't move in our building because there's no private laundry. It's like going to a laundromat, which is very clean and nice, but it's communal laundry. But I thought I could do that. I like to think New York, you know. And so I've met so many people there. But when I was in some public housing, I noticed that these beautiful apartments, it was a Housing Authority tour, these beautiful apartments for low-income grandparents and their grandchildren that are raising their grandchildren had very nice laundry rooms. And that was the first thing. I was there to talk about co-housing aspects. That was the first thing I noticed. I said, get rid of the laundry rooms because people aren't talking to each other. They can go to their enclave. So there, it's a long answer to it all, but there are ways of getting started, and we really need a lot of, there's a lot of grassroots things going on right now, and that's another one that's kind of the way a lot of that happens. Yes.
I'm having a hard time coming up with a way of phrasing this. First, thank you. I can phrase that. What kind of considerations have you given for this kind of co-housing for old folks who live on modest social security?
Are you asking the Golden Girls, or
asking
me?
I'm asking whoever anybody can answer, up there or Bob, or
okay. I would say, and again, my interest is affordable co-housing. A lot of co-housing is very expensive, and I couldn't afford to live there. We couldn't afford to live there. So there definitely needs to be more affordable. Some of the models around social service are a great way to get that at that. It just takes getting it developed. But I think in a Golden Girls model, depending on what the housing was, you wouldn't have a... I've been to their beautiful home. That's not a... moderate income home, but there are places that you could group together, maybe buying a duplex or renting a duplex, or you know, even building community in a rental situation. So, and there's something that Bob and I have talked about that's maybe a possibility sometime that would be pretty affordable. So I think it's possible, but we just need to try to get at it.
Do you know about Quimper Village in Port Townsend, Washington?
I've heard of it. I haven't been there.
And are you aware that there is a national conference on co-housing that I believe is going to be in Atlanta?
May 20th in Nashville, I'm going.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, my sister, who's been involved, a leader on Quimper Village, which just broke ground on 7 acres of land in Port Townsend, will be presenting there.
That's wonderful.
So, and it's largely a group of Unitarians in Port Townsend that have done
They're
this.
The ones. You're the ones. Go. And in fact, I meant to put this slide up. This is Co-Housing US, and there's the website address. There's a lot of information about that conference and a lot of different co-housing communities there. There's also a directory of opportunities, living opportunities available. And some of them may well be in a moderate budget. Hello.
Yes, you three are sisters.
I'm adopted.
Oh, okay. But anyway, you knew each other very well before you started this, which may have, I would think, a lot of advantages and a few disadvantages. Now, for people who are, I know most of these people here, a little bit. But if we were all going to live together, that's another that's another thing. So do you have meetings where that are facilitated by somebody who's competent to get at those things that can cause problems?
We just heard about a college situation where people were joining together in affinity groups. So I think, you know, one of the things you could do is to talk to your friends and say, what are we interested in? And because anybody living in a situation, you're going to have to figure out how you live together. And good communication is a part of that. So I think one of the things that you need to do is to think about what you like to do, who are the people you like. Maybe start with your current friends who are interested. I lived in a sorority house with, 82 girls, and one of the things you have to do is you have to have some rules. You have to have some rules, and you have to remind people of what you really came together to do in this living situation. You know, what is it we're trying to accomplish here? And that's something that we've talked about, why did we decide to do that? Because we wanted to support each other, we wanted to share each other's company, and we wanted to have financially benefit from the shared cost of living together. So does that help? Just some ideas about, who might be a good companion? Who'd be somebody you'd like their company? And I think that's a good idea.
Maybe that's something Gail could help with.
Yeah.
A matching service.
I'd love to.
Dating service.
Well? Yeah, good. Carol, did you have something?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, I think it's important to know, Paula once said, that it really is critical when you go into something like this that you have an emotional, I'm losing my word here, but, being an adult. Because Paula and I, sisters, right? We've known each other but we never had lived together. Living in proximity with somebody is, even Lando, it helped a lot to live with her for the 4 months or 6 months that the house was being renovated, because I learned a lot about what things were particular to her. She learned the same for me. So even when you love somebody and care about them and, enjoy their company, day in and day out is a different thing. So Paul is right about looking for people who have similar likes that you do. We certainly do. We have a giant screen television in our house because we all love, you know, entertainment of movies and TV series. But anyway.
And I would say from visiting them and seeing them, I asked them when we met at their house, and because I knew Landa, but I didn't know the G's, okay, so what's the bad stuff, you know, and what's the hardest thing? And we talked about some of that, but I could tell that the G girls are, the G sisters are, you know, it's real easy. You're great communicators. You don't mind speaking up. I don't think you hold grudges, and I know Landa is open and easy to talk with. So I think that it really, if you have to have some self-awareness. Are you someone that is going to get along well? Are you flexible enough in that arrangement? Because they even mentioned that Landa isn't sanguine in this relationship, so it could be kind of a triangle, because we have the sisters and then the friend, and maybe the sisters and the friend don't treat the friend exactly the way they treat each other, you know, so it's a family dynamic. Yeah. Landa's the lucky one, yeah. But yes.
I did love the idea, if there was possible to get a facilitator or a TV show like that where they try to match people, that would be absolutely ideal, because I'm here to say and ask, I don't see how one knows if they're compatible when they're sitting in meetings trying to agree on money, that's the biggie, and trying to see what the compatibility of personalities are. Plus, I don't really think that many people agree on money and how that's invested. So I guess it would seem incumbent you would need an architect to cater to the general format that would work for everybody. I mean, I don't know how you could ever come to a consensus on all of the details of maybe the arrangement.
Are you talking about building a starting from scratch, a community?
Really. I'm not really, because you're talking big cost, and I don't know which is cheaper. I guess I might as well ask that question, building or having an existing renovation to make it what you wanted.
Well, I think it depends on the retrofit, right? That can be real expensive.
Well, I think our housing, the amount of housing we have in this country would prove that ranch-style homes are costly these days because of the land it requires to do a ranch versus a two-story, or, you know, that's why we've got so many two-story homes in the country, because to build from ground up a ranch, and our resident architect could answer this better than I, it's not, that's why, you know, Leawood, one of the, you know, the home of many ranch homes, is a very popular place that people are looking to buy into because they want a ranch home with no stairs.
But wouldn't that mostly cater to two people when you're building upstairs and you had a downstairs? I don't know how you do that in thirds. Yes.
Well, and maybe, Paula, maybe that's something that, are you coming to the next session? We have a little half hour or something next door. And that's something I'm happy to talk to you more in detail, because I know Paula. About, it sounds like a big question, a lot of issues around that.
Yeah, and a lot.
Let's have another conversation about that.
Okay.
But you raised some good thoughts.
I just wanted to bring one thing. I went to the first national co-housing conference in Boulder, and I just want to say that everybody on the stage agreed that, number one, it's not what you expect, and number two, everything keeps changing. And my question is, how do you ever get it together with people that, I mean, I don't think most people know the people that they possibly could co-house with. That's the purpose of trying to have community, and that isn't necessarily who you know.
So it's not easier. It's a lot easier to live alone, you're right. Because there are those issues, and at all the co-housing conferences, there's always segments about working together and being a community and communication.
And lastly, one place I went to.
Only one question.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. More on that later. Evelyn.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very happy living in a condominium and have attained the sense of community in many things that have been mentioned. But before I bought it, I thought seriously about co-housing with people. And I concluded that I personally would have to own the property, because everybody I approached, they were just not willing to assume any kind of risk in that kind of situation. And so then I began to think about protecting myself. through legal agreements, legal contracts. So I understand only one of you, Carol, owns the property. And so what have you done about agreements or contracts in case one person, one of your roommate, the property owner's roommate, wants to move out? What if the property owner develops Alzheimer's, can't manage? What happens to the co-housing arrangement? So the protections of the property owner would be of first concern, how to do that with agreements or contracts or not, and then protecting the roommates with the rights to move out if some conditions were undesirable.
Well, we probably would flunk every, because the only thing that we, there is no agreement, there's no contract among the three of us. I do have provisions in my will, et cetera, and, I mean, first of all, you know, my monies, whatever, go to my siblings, my three surviving siblings, but I don't even think my roommates know this, but I have a provision that if I got hit by a bus tomorrow, mm-hmm. that the house would be paid off, and there'd be money left behind for a certain pool of money for renovations or what's needed for, you know, whatever. So I looked at it that way. But if Paula decided to, if I decided I wanted to move out tomorrow, we'd get a third roommate. I mean, if Paula decided to move out, we get a third roommate. Landa would probably be the first to go, meaning in terms of wanting to screamingly leave the situation. So we are open enough. Communication is so key. Communication is so key. And even no matter who you live with, if you're not communicating well, you can't have a relationship. And so we're pretty open. If there's something that, if there's a pinch point, we address it.
But I do understand that you're willing to tolerate all of the financial risk.
Yeah.
Yes.
I live in a little different situation, but since I had lived with my partner for many years, I moved into assisted living. And it feels very much like what you're talking about. And have my own two-room apartment and bath, and socialize and go to meals and things, and it really feels very much like what you're talking about. It could be, you know, in that kind of a situation.
Yeah, I would agree. Our mother was in assisted living for 7 years, and while she didn't want to go, you know, our love affair with our homes, I would say socially it made a huge difference for her in terms of interacting with people and yes, I would think current situations like that can be, as you know, depending on the management of the property or whatever, I think they can feel that way.
Yes, go ahead.
In this co-housing idea, as far as insurance and liability, does it require a special policy if something was to happen on your property?
Are you talking about the Golden Girls model?
Well, I would see that it would be very much the same in right. any of the co-housing if there was one independent owner.
Paula and Landa both have renter's insurance. And, you know, I have the whole house insurance. So, but their belongings are protected through their renter insurance policies that they each have individually.
And I would say in a classic co-housing arrangement, the homeowners association, just like in condos, the common spaces are paid through or insured through that group, because you own your, like in our condo that's not co-housing, we certainly have our insurance on our unit, but the building, if it were co-housing, we'd be paying some on that, on the building, the common spaces also. So it's covered.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all very much.
Thanks. If you have additional questions or comments, they're going to stay for a while in the meeting room, which is just out there and to the left and around there, not very far. And we also want to express our appreciation for this great group with our special honorarium, which is our U.S.-made Forum coffee cups or tea. Rita, would you say what next week is? I forgot to get one of those. Yeah, that's Lewis Dugood and Betty Beaver talking about political cartoons, which has got to be a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to Gail Reinch and her friends, the local Golden Girls, discuss senior co-housing and how to build community where you live. This program was recorded on Sunday, February 5th at the All Souls Universalist Unitarian Church in Kansas City, Missouri. All Souls Forum is edited and produced for broadcast by Christina Frazier. Our theme song was composed, performed, and recorded by musician Fred Potter. This program will be available for podcast within 10 days of broadcast on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. Remember, you can also find archived All Souls podcast and many other interesting and enlightening public affairs programs produced by KKFI on the KKFI website. Thanks again for joining us tonight, and please join us again, same time, same place, where we will continue the conversation here at your community radio station, 90.1 FM, KKFI.